Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlight, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Let's get back to this, but we want to talk about a recent article that was published in Forbes magazine about how the Internet of Things will rule your workday in 2020. I mean, this is the kind of the how things are evolving.
Yeah.
But again, the title is called How the Internet of Things Will Rule Your Workday in 2020, and kind of paints a picture. An infographic is basically some artwork, some graphics with some data on it displayed in an interesting way so that you can kind of read through some information. And so we're going to make sure that this is available for you on the Torch that you can look at it yourself. But what they did is put these graphics together with you know, showing a person, a fictitious person named Charlie. We'll talk about Charlie. But, you know, technology has changed so much of what we do on any given day. Just when you think that we're at a new normal, get ready because another ceiling is coming. But this is what this infographic says. By the end of this decade, there will be more deeply, the world will be more deeply and intimately connected place with an estimated 7.3 billion smartphones. Now, understand that today there's 7 billion people in the world, but in another, what?
I guess some have
5 years?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in another 5 years,
wow,
there'll be 7.3 billion smartphones, tablets, and PCs, according to Gartner. And the Internet of Things will expand at an even more rapid rate to 26 billion connected devices around the globe by 2020. Understand that the Internet, so far as we know it, is here to stay. Things can change. We've heard it. We're hearing prophetically things can happen to the Internet. But these are projections. A 30-fold increase over 2009.
Wow.
And then what they want to do in this infographic is walk us through a day in the life of Charlie, an employee, what his life is like in the year 2020. So they have Charlie sitting here in this designed house here, and he's sleeping in his bed. And the first thing they show us, step one, is he gets a wake-up notification at 6 a.m. on his cell phone. At 6 a.m., and Charlie's smartphone receives an email informing him that his 8 a.m. meeting has been pushed back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. His email service tells his smart clock to give him an extra 30 minutes of sleep. How nice is that?
Wow.
And
is
alerts
that how that works,
him.
Steve? Is that what you do?
Nah, not quite, no.
I'd be nice to Steve. There's a segment coming up. I'd be nice to Steve.
Oh.
Anyhow.
I'm totally ready.
Oh, see, he's ready.
He's preparing himself.
I was just warming up.
So, the smart clock gives him an extra 30 minutes to sleep and alerts him to the change when he awakes. I mean, how nice is that? So, 6 a.m.,
wow,
you're not sleeping at 6. His notification comes in, meeting's been pushed, and just because you're
bed.
So nice, you're going to get an extra 30 minutes.
How about that?
Wow.
That wouldn't work in my world because I got to go up and abide. But this is Charlie's world. So now we see Charlie in the infographic stepping outside of his home. And step two here is as Charlie gets ready to go, his car starts and sets his preferred interior temperature. He's not in the car yet.
Wow.
Charlie's not in the car yet. The car starts.
By itself.
By itself. Understand this. I mean, right now they're fitting these brand new cars with Wi-Fi and all kinds of stuff.
Well, we're seeing it now where you can have that push to start. You're not even in it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Preferred interior temperature. That's amazing.
How about that?
Yeah, they have that a lot up north. People don't want to start their car up in the cold.
I can understand that.
Hit that thing
That's
up.
Huge.
But now, I mean, set the temperature inside the car. Probably your favorite song and your music is playing.
Mm-hmm.
All, you know, technologically based. Now, he begins his commute. Talking to Charlie here in this future 2020, what his life is like as an employee.
Mm-hmm.
So he's commuting and he's going through rush hour traffic. And rush hour traffic actually is a thing of the past because he has a connected vehicle which minimizes traffic and even more importantly, accidents. Charlie's
wow.
Charlie's driverless car coordinates with traffic lights and other driverless vehicles to find the most efficient route. His car is one of 152 million connected cars on the road. We haven't even gotten to the rest of Charlie's day, but I could see a problem with this.
Yeah.
That's kind of
scary. 152 million connected
Charlie's
vehicles.
Charlie's not driving. That's a serious problem.
That's a serious problem. Charlie's not driving, and the Internet of Things is controlling his car as it relates to other cars that are connected on this grid.
Right.
And also traffic lights. And so the car is able to identify there's traffic. There's a whole lot of blinking lights in this area. And in fact, there's one or two blinking lights that have completely stopped in the middle of a road that's supposed to keep going, probably indicating an accident.
Right.
So Charlie's car is going to interpret that and reroute him and get him to work as he probably is playing on his phone or something as the car is being driven seamlessly.
Now, thinking about that as far as how technology can be so integrated with automobiles, I had ran into somebody before, and they had a rental car. And they were in America driving around, and I don't know which company they were with. But they had gotten, I would venture to say, in close proximity, close to the Mexican border. And the car shut down. The car just turned off. They were driving, but the car turned off. And apparently the, I forget the actual company where it's like the blue thing comes on, where it's like if you want to hit it, if you have a question, you can hit the button and they'll talk
OnStar?
To you.
OnStar.
Oh.
And they had said that you're in close, or you're getting too close to the border. You need to turn around.
Wow.
And
wow.
I was
shame,
just like,
a shame Sergeant Tamarisi didn't have that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My goodness.
But the significance of what I'm saying in that is that technology can easily be seen where the technology can basically override your ability to drive the car.
Yep. That's what Charlie's finding out right
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's not driving.
Mm-mm. No.
The car's driving.
Apparently he's sleeping.
Yeah. Sleeping or who knows what he's doing in that vehicle. But
that extra 30 minutes.
As he continues, no, he was in that 30 minutes before
oh,
he
yeah,
left.
Before he got in the car.
You need to follow this infographic.
I gotcha.
Again. All right. So in the vehicle has the in-vehicle Wi-Fi. Not the Wi-Fi that's on his phone or the Wi-Fi that's at his house.
It
or the Wi-Fi,
Wi-Fi
that's neighbored, you know, in the community. Because some cities now have Wi-Fi in the vehicle Wi-Fi. Which
wow.
means the car has its own Wi-Fi. It allows Charlie to catch up on work emails. That's what Charlie's doing. He's catching up on work emails. 90% of new cars will have a connected platform. This is talking about 2020, but we know today in 2014, this is already happening.
Yeah.
Cars have their own Wi-Fi, new cars that are being rolled out, and it's here. So he's catching up on emails as he's being driven to work by his own driverless chauffeur. I mean, think of how they're going to sell this. I mean, listen, now everyone can have a piece of luxury. Long gone are the days where you needed to pay for a personal chauffeur.
Right.
Your vehicle now has a chauffeur inside of it. You can drive with ease of pain. You don't know how to get there? No problems. Your car will take care of it. You don't know how to drive? No problem. Your car will take care of it. My goodness. And all that time you could have been spending reading your emails from the comfort of your home? No worry. You can read your emails in the car now because the driverless car will take care of it.
Wow.
What are we going to learn anything in 2020? What are we going to learn to do? Because we're not going to learn how to drive. We're not going to learn how to, you know. This is interesting. So he pulls into the parking lot. As he approaches the office, the GPS data and parking sensor guides Charlie's car to the nearest parking spot. I mean, Charlie doesn't even have to, like, say, okay, I'll take over from here. You know what I'm saying? I'll put my own vehicle in the parking lot and park it. The car. Now, listen, you may live like in Indiana or Omaha or North Dakota where there's, you know, I don't know, maybe plenty of parking. But this would be particularly interesting to me to see. I'm 42nd Street, you know, in the Bronx somewhere. You know, this would be an interesting thing. I wonder if the GPS could perceive potholes, you know what I'm saying, chunks of road missing.
Right.
I'd be really impressed at that point. But for right now, we understand in this infographic that Charlie's car is being parked by the driverless car using Wi-Fi. When we get back from this break, you're going to find out what else Charlie's able to do at work and how the Internet of Things is going to change many people's lives in 2020. If you're just joining us, basically how the Internet of Things will rule your workday in 2020. And we're looking at an infographic that we're going to make available for you on The Torch. Mm-hmm. And we are taking a day in the life of a fictitious person named Charlie as this graphic is moving us along his day, from alerting him that his meeting was pushed back via email to 8 o'clock, and he can get some extra half hour of sleep, to car starting up and driving itself to work, and even parking on its own. I mean,
that's what I need right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To park that big limousine. But we're not going to go there right now. Now, Charlie's at work. Wow. In his work at a nonprofit, Charlie uses cognitive computing system. Spell that one. The system, modeled after the human brain,
that's
learns from the experiences to make decisions. This is not far-fetched. Ray Kurzel, who is working with Google now, I believe wrote a book, How to Make the Brain or something like that. We need to find that book. We'll make it related for you. But they're making a computer to operate like a brain, to think for you. It analyzes everything that you say, the emails. It watches your behavior. And it's going to get to the point where the computer, when you turn it off, it's going to actually talk back to you and say, don't turn me off. It's going to know that you're about to turn it off, because it watches your behavior. And before you hit the power button, it's going to talk back to you and say, don't turn me off, because every night at 10 o'clock, you turn the computer off and go to bed. In fact, they made a movie called Her, and my understanding, did not see the movie. The trailer was just too weird. But my understanding, just watching the trailer, that the man in the movie actually had a relationship with his cell phone, and it was talking back to him. This is weird. We cannot, this is, technology is good, but we have to know how to make technology submit to us. God has called us to have relationship with human beings, not digital people, images of things.
It's significant, too, how in the beginning it says the fact that the world is going to be interconnected and intimately related. And it's just like, through technology, we've got to be connected to people and relationships.
Yes.
And not be able to conversation with those to our left and right.
Not holograms either, because those are coming. Holograms are coming. Hologram meetings are coming. And hologram is just basically like an image that shows up in your room of a person talking, but it's not really them. Listen, we have to be connected with people, as Steve was saying. Now, this computer that he's working on, which is a cognitive computing system, not even a computer, it's a cognitive computing system. Maybe we won't have computers. We'll have cognitive computing system. Okay. Charlie's system monitors the world's water supply and issues recommendations based on its findings. See, Charlie's not going to have to think.
He's not really doing anything.
He's not thinking. Charlie's not thinking. He's just learning to do what the computer does, okay? 6 years ago, Charlie received his degree in business intelligence analytics, which continues to be a hot IT skill. Now, we think about this and laugh about this, but recently I spoke with a doctor who told me, and I was surprised at this, that American doctors, in this doctor's opinion, don't know as much. This doctor was trained in another country, where they, in Latin American countries, where she continues to explain that you have nothing but hands-on experience there. I mean, you're not like, running to the cardiologist. You're not running to the pain doctor. You are the pain doctor. You are the cardiologist. You are everything. And through, trial and error, I guess, because they're practitioners. They practice. They practice medicine. They have the opportunity to see more and more patients. They're able to see symptoms. They're able to see what they're able to prescribe and see if it works. And that those doctors are well more prepared. Because you think about the the healthcare system in Cuba. I've heard they've had pretty good healthcare system for a country that's still driving cars from the 1950s.
I remember running across a commercial that had an advancement in technology, and it talked about the different generations and people of doctors responding, and they had technology where it's just like they just applied a system and it gave all the answers.
Yeah. That's so important, because what the doctor was telling me was that today in the hospitals in America, they're just like looking at information, sending it off to this person to read. They can't really tell you as much because they're just, okay, well, we're going to run this to the lab.
They're all specialists.
Yeah, we're going to run this to somewhere else. We're going to run that, and then whatever the report tells us, we're going to come back and tell you. Now, I'm not minimizing doctors' intelligence and what they know. I'm just what I'm highlighting here. It's basically a conversation that a doctor told me. But we're seeing this in Charlie. Charlie's not really interpreting anything. The computer's interpreting everything.
Yeah.
So the other thing we learn about Charlie is that he's tasked with a new type of data analysis that he's never done before. The software on his computer recognizes this and offers a step-by-step tutorial for the process, also suggesting he seek advice from a coworker who's done that type of analysis many times. I mean, you've never done it before, but that's no problem, because my computer's going to tell me how to do it, and it's going to suggest that I visit that person down the hallway because they've done it. I mean, look at this technology. Step 3, Charlie forgets his tablet in the conference room. Oh, what a problem. But quickly finds it because it is its embedded beacon sensor can communicate its exact location. Now, I'll tell you, I mean, this thing right here for Sanguins, I mean, this can be, this is a benefit. I mean, listen,
this
you lose
got your
keys,
name all over.
You lose your tablet.
Does it attach to your keys?
And I like to say that, I didn't lose it. I just misplaced or actually forgot where I strategically placed it. Because I knew that I put it down.
Where you strategically
absolutely.
Placed it.
Absolutely. Mm. So I can see where this little technology can provide some sort of benefit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So now Charlie is done with his work day, and he's on his way home. He's leaving his job. And on his way home, Charlie's smartphone alerts him to a 30% off sale at his favorite store, Pat, and he is 19 times more likely to interact with retailer after receiving the alert and heads to the mall. Understand that this technology is already here and it's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
They have this, and I don't have that app for you to tell you right now. I apologize, but they have it right now where you walk into a certain vicinity, and because of other stores that are on this type of network, they will text you and let you know, because they know that you're on that block or on that street. If you come into Starbucks now, we'll give you 30% off a cup of coffee. And so people will sign up for this service because they're going to get something for it. You realize, well, why do I want to know that, I don't want to receive texts or emails about a store when I'm leaving. Oh, yes, you do, if they're offering you 50% off. Oh, yes, you do, Vince, buy one, get one free of your favorite item.
Right.
Yeah, of course I need a cupcake right now. Of course I need it. Yeah, they have CR readers and things like that where you can, clip on. But that's something that you have to actually snap.
Okay.
This is something that's automatically sent to you. It's recognizing that your dot is walking down Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
And Starbucks is on Main Street. And they want you to come on in or whatever the store is. This is real. This is happening right now. But this is going to happen even more. I mean, you're going to see all sorts of advertisements. Well, Charlie continues to go. And at the mall, Charlie scans the barcode of the suit. The barcode of the suit on display, and the store's digital inventory system ensures his size is in stock and is altered to his exact measurements. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about how this is going to help Pat, because Pat likes to shop in the stores, but he doesn't like to waste his time. He wants to know that his favorite shoe is there at his size. We're talking about a day in the life of a fictitious person named Charlie, but not too fictitious, because in this article that we are reading, this infographic, how the Internet of Things will rule your workday in 2020, they're showing us through graphic and through imagery, which we'll make available for you on the torch so that you can see for yourself what it will be like for this fictitious employee named Charlie who, from the time he leaves his house to the time he arrives to work, what he does at work, and even as he heads home, how technology will influence so many things in his life. And you think about today, I mean, how much your cell phone, I mean, this technology, and particularly what Apple has been able to do, because, you know, Apple was first to market and they revolutionized this whole thing, even when they started with the iPod. And I remember looking at the iPod thinking, you know, because up until this point, electronics really were not built, in my opinion, to last with superior excellence. A lot of these electronics, you know, they were designed to kind of wear out after a while and, mm-hmm. you know, get another camera, get another radio, yeah, get another CD player. Yeah, they just, you know, weren't made that way. So when I saw that the iPod was made for the first time with a battery built inside that you couldn't take out, I mean, up until this point, everyone knows, hello, batteries die. And anything that you have to charge up, we've all had rechargeable batteries mm-hmm, that they mm-hmm. work in the beginning, but then, of course, they die out. So my mindset was like, oh, that's not going to win. I'm not getting that because if I can't, I like to replace this battery based on prior knowledge. But who knew that technology would work so excellent? And to this day, I've never heard of anyone say, you know, my battery died in my iPod years ago and then I just couldn't fix it. No, they work. They work for a lifetime. And this is something that's used all the time. But then Apple pushed the envelope and said, we're not only going to let you just use an iPod where you can carry music. And actually, the technology is called MP3 Player. But because they were the first to market, everyone says, put it on your iPod. Mm-hmm. And I really thought they were onto something when I wanted to buy one for my wife for Christmas some years back. And I went to go get one. And I said, well, let me look at what all the MP3 players had to offer. And, you know, let me just evaluate and compare them because I want to get her, you know, a nice one. I wanted to bless her with something really nice that she was going to use. And I put them all, you know, went to the store and checked them all out. And I was amazed that after several years of the iPod coming out and all these other MP3 players from Magnavox, Sony, you name all of them, they still couldn't come close to what the iPod was produced. They were made out of plastic. They were chintzy. And then you have this iPod with metal
casing.
Metal casing for relatively almost the same amount of cost. Mm-hmm. And that's when I said, hey, this company's earned my dollars. I'm going to go ahead and buy it. And you know what? She still has that thing today, even though she's progressed. But then they did a revolutionary thing by combining the iPod with the iPhone. Again, something that has never been done before. Mm-hmm. First to market. I mean, I've had cell phones for years. I can't tell you how many cell phones I've had. And what really started this whole thing was the PDAs, a personal assistance. Palm came out with PDAs, Palm Pilots. Yeah. That was a big thing where you can do infrared green screen and you can send information. You had to line up the Palm Pilot with someone else's Palm Pilot. It couldn't be more than like 4 inches away, and you can send information that way. And it was, you know, a personal assistant, and it was green and black screen. That was it. Yeah. But it was cool. Collapsible keyboard, the whole thing. And it was really advanced for its time. And then it progressed to Dell came out with a color Axum. And I had that, which was great because, again, it was a personal assistant and functioned as a secretary. But then Apple, again, pushed the envelope and combined the personal assistant with the phone and the iPod to create this brand new device. And again, you know, I'm like, man, that's not going to work. How are you going to connect your telephone to your PDA? Again, because my paradigm of what was already been in the market was something that was chintzy, less quality. Mm-hmm. Those cell phones would break all the time. They were designed to break exactly when the 2-year contract was up. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, no. But again, a company that was racing to put the best product on the market, and they were interested in building a brand. When we're talking about technology, we're talking about the Internet of Things, but we're kind of really recognizing companies that have really Apple – where they have actually doubled their value now is like $700 billion. I mean, they're doing really well,
unbelievable.
But it's because they took this technology mountain, if you will, they took it by the horns, and they put out excellent product that literally has revolutionized society, how we interact with data, that we have the ability to text, to receive emails, to listen to music, to watch movies, to have a personal assistant, and they pushed other people completely out of the industry. You tell me today who's buying a digital camera. Only professional photographers. Most people, right? Yeah. They're buying digital cameras. But now today, you can have a digital camera with 12.1 megapixel, which before, I mean, we've bought, when digital cameras first came out.
That was huge.
You could pay $400 or $500 just for a 12.1 megapixel a couple years ago.
My first digital camera was pixels.
Yeah. One, two,
and I paid probably $200 for that thing.
Well, and today in your cell phone, you have 12.1 megapixels, which
even
means
more
quality.
Increasing. Yeah.
Yeah, which means the quality is like you can, what that means is that you can take a picture and you can blow the picture up without compromising the integrity and the quality of the picture. Mm-hmm. To you can take it somewhere and actually print a poster of a picture where before,
crystal clear.
Yeah, well, before you were pushing it, you got an 8x10. I mean, you know, people were, now you can print your own posters. And so with the development of the iPhone, with the development of the iPad, they moved into a area of the tablet, which other companies have tried to do a tablet. They tried to do it, and it failed miserably.
Mm-hmm.
And then they developed this tablet, which is, again, just revolutionizing, as you're saying, Steve. They opened up a world of apps where people can buy. So they've pushed us into this place.
Yeah.
And we're waiting for the next company, if it's Apple or somebody else, that takes our new norm, because this is our new normal.
Mm-hmm.
And really, they've done this within a short period amount of time, because it took the turn in 2008, if you remember. 2008 was a significant year, because it seemed like just everything just in technology just continued to just grow exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
And it pushed out a company like BlackBerry, who was known for professional PDAs. I mean, they're like the last hurrah. They're trying to just to survive
hang
right
on,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, hang on.
And we've talked about exponential growth and what that means. You know, we talked about it in a previous segment. It's just like how it doubles and doubles and doubles.
Every year.
So much so, as it grows, it gets that much faster. And if you're not familiar with technology and IT and the development of things, in the industry of IT, they have something basically saying every, I think it's 18 months, technology doubles, or the same technology, the cost of it is cut in half. And that's something that was shared with me when I was in college. And it blows your mind, because you look at how fast technology is now. The amount of, you know, distance that we traveled in advancements in the last year, it'll be twice as much as what is invented in the next year.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show, it's just like the mindsets that we had, like you're saying, John, 10 years ago, it blows our mind to think about what we have now. It's like we can't be stuck in present mindsets, especially in technology and what's going to happen in the next 10 years.
Well, it's growing. I remember, you know, 5 years ago, people talking about the next big thing in technology was going to be storage. You're thinking, storage? What are you talking about? I mean, you were happy to get a computer with 6 gigs on it.
Yeah.
Now they're rolling out computers with terabytes on them.
Mm-hmm.
And because the reason why you needed this storage, because they already knew that these technologies were coming out, which is going to make people create data, whether it be pictures or you know, other things, which require space. And so we're looking at a day in the life of Charlie and how he's going to be interacting in 2020. A lot of these things, believe it or not, are already present today.
Yeah.
The way technology happens, by the way, there's cutting edge technology, and then you have people that are called early adapters. They're the ones that were the first ones to get the iPods. They were the first ones to get the computer when they came out. They were the first ones to get the laptops, the iPads. Mm-hmm. And these are the people that are literally using the products, testing the products, pushing them to the next level. And then the developer continues to make them better, and now more masses of people join on to something. So the technology that we're really talking about, 2020, most of this stuff is present right now. It's the early adapters that are using them till they become mainstream, and we're all using them. We all have an iPhone. We all have a smartphone.
Right.
And so we're talking about Charlie leaving his work, and he's getting notifications about things in the store, things that he can purchase, discounts. He went and scanned the suit, and Pat, just for you, they were able to tell him that we have his size and it's in stock. How amazing is that? Making shopping that much more simple and easier. And then finally, Charlie arrives at home. Charlie, as he settles into bed, he presses a single button that turns off the lights in the house, sets the home security system, lowers the thermostat to his preferred sleeping temperature, and takes the bed sheets and puts it all the way up to his nose. Oh, my goodness. Technology.
Wow.
2020. Listen, don't let technology rule your life. You be in control of that technology. And remember, wherever you, whatever you input and upload, it's available for all. So you learn to get a piece of paper and a pen. Learn to read a paper Bible and abide with God on paper and pen. You know, the old-fashioned way. Some things, listen, are never worth changing, but learn to have an interactive relationship with the Lord. It's not necessarily connected to anything digital. Just you and him, some pen and paper, and a nice printed Bible.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.